The reading is from the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, as Bart said, to be found on page 1144 of the Church Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we start at verse 10, divisions in the church. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, please do keep those Bibles open at that page that Pam's just read for us, because we're going to be looking at those words quite closely this morning. But before we do, let me pray for us one more time. Heavenly Father, thank you for this life-giving word. We thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit works within us to change us and make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would come now and that you would help us to know what you want to say to us this morning, that you would open our eyes and our ears and our minds and our hearts, that we might humbly sit before you to learn from you, that you might have your way amongst us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder who your favourite football team is. I only loosely follow football myself, although 15 years ago, I did take it very seriously. From 2003 to 2005, I had a season ticket at Chelsea Football Club. And I went to every match. These days, I hardly know what's happening at Chelsea at all. Although I think we recently won both the men's and women's FA Cup final, which is nice. But depending on how much you like Chelsea or not, some of you are right now being tempted to either like me more than you did 5 minutes ago or like me a lot less than you did 5 minutes ago. For some of you, football may be such a massive turnoff that you definitely like me a lot less than you did 5 minutes ago. Football divides people. It divides people into teams. Teams that sometimes hate each other with bitter rivalries. But in a couple of weeks' time, when the World Cup is on, we'll put all that division to one side and unite together to support England for at least 3 matches. But it's not just football that sorts people into various groups. We live in quite a divided country. We're not quite at the civil war level yet, but sometimes if you watch the news, it does get pretty nasty. Politically, we're divided in half. Just think about these numbers from recent popular votes. The Brexit result was very close, 52% leave, 48% remain. The general election was very close, 42% Conservative, 40% Labour. The local election was even closer, 35% Labour, 35% Conservative. Whatever your preference, you have to say it's very close. We live in a divided country. Some people read The Guardian or The Mirror. Some people read The Mail or The Sun. But whatever you think, it's going to be a very difficult job to bring unity to a country with that level of division. But how do you deal with division in the church? What do you do when two Christians in the same church simply cannot agree on a way forward? How do you deal with quarrelling in the church? These divisions come up quite often and can be quite tricky things to handle. And that's what's going on here in Corinth. Their church is divided. And that's our first point this morning. One, the problem. The church is divided, but they must unite. What's the problem? The church is divided, but they must unite. 10 to 12. Have a look in your Bibles at verse 11 and we'll see what's going on. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas, that's Peter. And still another, I follow Christ. The church in Corinth are divided over who are the best leaders. They've broken off into teams or factions. And we're not told why. But you can imagine them saying, I follow Apollos. He's such a great preacher. I simply love listening to him. Well, I follow Peter, the great Peter of Pentecost, the one God sent to Cornelius. Peter was with Jesus for 3 years, you know. I follow Peter. He's my guy. Others may have said, well, I follow Paul. He founded this church. I was converted through Paul's preaching. He's got a great mind and a big heart. He's a great writer. I follow Paul. And then other people come along and say, look, all this arguing over the best human leaders is worldly. I don't do that. I'm just a Christian. I follow Christ. And maybe they'd never say it. But the implication is that everyone else is a second-class Christian because they follow these different parties. But not them. They're proper Christians because they don't split the church into parties. But they have, because that's still a party. So even though really it's the right thing to say, I follow Christ, if it's said the wrong way, it's not going to be taken with love. It just drives the wedge down even deeper. So even though we don't know the reasons for these divisions, we can still appreciate what's going on. They've divided into different factions, depending on which leader they like the best. Each group thinks they're better than the other. It's what we might call a superiority complex. Point scoring. Playing games of one-upmanship. It's pride. And we are not immune from such a problem. Today, there are many divisions within the Church of God. If we zoom out in the greater sense of the word church, the global church, the entire church, We're divided into teams or groups, aren't we? Denominations, Anglicans, Baptists, Free Churches, Pentecostals, and many, many more. And then we subdivide into conservative or charismatic, traditional or modern, infant baptism or believer's baptism, band or organ, songs or hymns, Calvin or Arminius, Bible book preaching or thematic preaching, each group thinking we're better than the other. Our practice is divided over what to do about gay marriage and the role of women in ministry. And that's all of that before you even get to the level of the individual church zooming in. Now, it's sad, but sometimes people in churches fall out because they have disagreements, particularly over the way church does things. I suppose one close example to Corinth might come when you try to appoint staff. I like this guy. Well, I like this one. I like this preacher. Or that one. I follow Apollos. What do you do? How do you deal with divisions and disagreements in the church when things like this happen? And they do happen. Well, what does Paul say? Let's have a look in our Bibles at verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there may be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Now, this is more than just to agree to disagree. This is more than just bear with one another and let's all be kind. This is more than just don't talk about those things. Paul says, agree with one another. No divisions. Be perfectly united in mind and thought. He wants them to talk it through and work it out. And that takes the opposite of pride. That takes humility on both sides. That takes an attitude which is prepared to change its mind. And the only way to do that is for both sides to be prepared to sit under the authority of the Bible, under the authority of Christ, and under the authority of the gospel. To be willing to be corrected by the Bible if it shows that we've been going down the wrong path. So even though it's better to just put up with disagreements than to be nasty to one another, it's not enough. Paul wants them to find out why they're disagreeing and then open the Bible up and work it out. How do you deal with divisions in the individual church, zooming in here? Take up your Bibles and with humility talk it through and work it out. Paul wants them to develop a common, gospel-soaked, Bible-rich mind, perfectly united. No divisions. Now that's at the individual church level. We'll see how that works out for the wider church later on. But the next few verses show us more about the solution, which is our second point this morning. Two, the solution. Humbly look at Jesus, look at the gospel, and look at the cross. What's the solution? Humbly look at Jesus, look at the gospel, and look at the cross, 13 to 17. Firstly, look at Jesus. It's about him, it's not about us. Verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? What's the answer? No, Christ is not divided. Paul was not crucified for you. Jesus was. You were not baptized into the name of Paul. You were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The more they focus on Christ and his glory, the less they focus on their divisions and factions. And a good question to ask is, why do we come to church? To see Christ? To worship Christ? To know him and love him and serve him? Or is it more important that we're part of some party or issue or side with some particular leader? The more you make of Christ, the more the church comes together. When the disagreements become the most important thing, the church suffers from division. Keep Christ at the center of the church. Because that's the one thing that all Christians have in common, isn't it? All over the world and throughout all ages. The same Jesus at the center. Fashion changes, style changes, issues change. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How do you deal with divisions in the church? Humbly look at Christ. Secondly, look at the gospel, verse 14. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, as you know, some churches prefer to baptize babies, and some churches prefer to baptize believers. But Paul says Christ didn't send him to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He seems to be putting baptism on a different level to preaching the gospel. He doesn't want people to be able to boast that he baptized them personally. He doesn't want them to get into groups and divide again over this. But he does want to preach the gospel. Why? Because faith is necessary. You have to have faith. But baptism, although very important, is not perhaps important how or by whom. And when we insist that baptism must be done a certain way for someone to be a real Christian, we may have pushed it too far. Because it's faith that determines whether someone's a Christian. It seems that baptism is a secondary issue. So let's think about what this means for the wider church, the global church, zooming out. The question is, when different kinds of churches work together, what are we partnering around? Well, it's the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ died in the place of the church to bring forgiveness from God. He saved us and rescued us from the punishment that we deserved for our sins against God. He rose again from the dead so that now, through faith in Jesus, we can be brought back to God in a right relationship. Now, different churches can have different preferences for secondary things like baptism, but then still work together when they unite around the gospel. As you know, we had a great morning yesterday at the London Men's Convention. 2,300 men from all kinds of different churches gathered together to worship Christ. It was a gospel partnership. And we do the same thing, don't we? When we go on holidays together like Word Alive, or on summer camps like Contagious. The students at Kingston University do it when they partner together from a wide range of different churches with many different styles. How? Because they partner around the gospel. At the wider church level, zooming out, respecting that within our individual churches, we have reached a common gospel mind about secondary issues. We can still work together because we partner around the same Christ and the same gospel. And indeed, that's what we do at Insight. We have to ask that question, what are we going to partner around? What are we going to partner for? We're 12 different churches partnering around the gospel for Christ to make him known in Kingston schools. Now, sometimes it's a good thing that churches are divided. The New Testament writers want people to know how to spot when a church is going astray. It has a lot to say about false teachers. So we don't just want to partner with everyone who claims to be a church of any kind. No, we want to talk about the gospel together and partner around that. Paul writes, doesn't he, in Ephesians 4, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Why? Because there's only one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There's only one gospel, only one way, Jesus. How do you deal with divisions in the church? Look at the gospel. It's a gospel partnership. And finally, look at the cross, verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. When our churches divide into factions like Corinth, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, we develop this superiority complex, point scoring, playing games of one-upmanship against one another, pride. Paul implies that this empties the cross of its power. Do we think that we're better than people in the other group? Look at the cross. It's a great leveller, because everything we have is given by grace. It's not earned because we're so clever. Beside the cross, we all have nothing to bring. Jesus does everything for us. Next to the cross, we simply can't play superiority games with one another. Now, I found that in preparing this talk, I was quite convicted that I like to do this. When you serve in a particular team or a mission, there's a natural tendency to think we're the best. I want to be in the best schools work job. I want to do the best summer camp. I want to go to the best church. The best, the best, the best. And sometimes we might be the best. It might even be true, but there's no need to be proud. We can never insist that to be a real Christian, you have to be in my club. Because we're not saved through our association with particular groups, but through Christ, the gospel, and the cross. We don't achieve unity by focusing on unity. We achieve unity by focusing on Christ, the gospel, and the cross. How do you deal with divisions in the church? Take up your Bible and humbly look at Jesus, look at the gospel, and look at the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the diversity of style we enjoy in the wider church. But thank you also for the gospel partnerships that are forming all over this world as churches work together for the glory of Christ. Help us to deal with disagreements and divisions in our own churches. Help us to agree with one another and become perfectly united in mind and thought. Help us to come to a common, gospel-soaked, Bible-rich mind in all matters. Keep us away from pride so that we might humbly sit under the authority of your word. Stop us from thinking we're better than others in our church. We praise you for your grace and mercy to us in Jesus. Help us to keep him at the center of all we do. Fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the gospel and the cross. Amen.